Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, to whom all blessings flow. Welcome to this place of restoration.
Christian Ministries presents Pastor John Bazemore, Jr.
Honored to have the opportunity to share the word of the Lord with you. I want to again thank God for our visitors being with us today. I am just real excited about the things that the Lord is doing and the things that He's promised to do. I'm just real excited to share this word. You know, sometimes in your coming up, God allows you to go through certain things, and you never know, but in the later parts of your lives, God will use those things to be a blessing or to share work with someone. So coming up, I was gifted by the Lord to run. So I was into track and field for years and years. And so I want to talk about that today. You know, that's why I got the little diagram on the board. But I want to talk about it today because it's kind of a little twist. It's really a play on words as far as standing your lanes. But I think it's something that we really need to learn to do. I heard, if not one time, 1,000 times, I heard people ask me, well, Pastor, I just don't know how to recognize what my gift is or what my calling is or why am I on this earth or what am I meant to do? You know, what is my gift or you know, what is the anointing in my life? So I want to talk about some people in the Word of God today that did not know that themselves, and one may have known it and probably did know it, but again, there are things that we have to go through. There are certain roads that we have to travel before we can come into the fullness of what God is and what God has brought us to do. And I don't want you to get discouraged in your journey and your travels, because if you are faithful long enough, the thing that God has put you on this earth to do, it will come to pass. And I don't want you to get discouraged because, you know, you say, well, I'm older now. My time is almost done. Your time is not done. If I recall from the word of the Lord, Caleb was 80 years old, and he was ready to conquer another mountain, conquer another city, conquer another nation. So it does not matter how old you are. What really matters is how ready you are to do the things that God has called you to do.
Amen.
And I've learned that when you have a passion for anything, it's a good sign that that's something that God has called you to do. So let's bow our heads and we're going to say a prayer, and we're going to get right into the word of the Lord for today. Father, we thank you today for the abundance of your loving kindness and always for the richness of your tender mercies. We thank you, Father God, not for what you're doing, but just because of who you are. Because of who you are, God, we have come here today to get to magnify your name, to give you the praise, glory, and the honor that only you are deserving of. Father, we pray that you will permanently damage our ignorance, that we might become vessels of honor, sanctified, and fit to be used by you. I voluntarily decrease that Holy Spirit may increase, that your word will come forth in power under the anointing. And as always, I believe that people will be saved, healed, delivered, and set free from every yoke and bondage. And I'm not asking you to do it, but I believe that it's already done. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, and we thank you. Amen. So again, we're just honored to, you may have your seats, we're just honored for what God is doing today. I'm real excited. I saw my son on the way here. He ministers at another church, and he has to minister this morning as well, so as all preachers do. He was telling me what he's going to preach about, and I was telling him what I was going to preach about. Make sure you record it so I can listen to you. So I'm just real excited about this. And track and field was something that I used to thoroughly enjoy doing. Some of the things that I learned there, I did not know, so I'm not going to, you know, front like I did. I didn't know the spiritual significance of it then, but sometimes it takes, how many of you know that sometimes it takes later on in life to go through trials and tribulation before you finally, your eyes are finally open, and you say, oh, now I get it. Well, I thank God for the things that he allowed me to go through, because some of the things that I went through, I now fully understand it. And I want to talk about this because Many of you know I have a real active online ministry on Facebook, on Twitter, and all of the others, and have, I mean, quite a few friends there. And if there's one question that is asked of me more than anything, it's the question that people always come to my inbox and they will ask me this: Pastor, what is it that I'm here for? I mean, what is my calling? What has God called me to do? I see all of these other people and they're so happy doing this, but I just don't know what I'm here for. Yes. So I kind of want to talk about that today. And of course, my title name is Stay in Your Lane, and you're going to see what that means in just a moment. But I want to start off with some verses of scripture that I want to give you. You can go to them if you like. The first will be from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'm just going to read one verse from there. That's going to be verse 24. And then we're going to go over to Matthew, I believe it's chapter 2. Let's start here. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain. Now, let me say this, because I'm also learning that being a businessman as well, I really had to apologize privately to my wife, and I'm going to do an apology publicly. But sometimes things they weigh on me so heavily that sometimes I will allow my emotions to say things before I really think about it. So I'm going to have to do an apology, a slight apology. But I kind of did mean what I said, because here's the thing. I know as believers we are encouraged to believe, we're encouraged to, you know, to touch and agree, you know, to sow our seed, and, you know, to call those things that be not as though they are. But here's the situation with me. I think all of those things are good, and I think those things are necessary to do. But then at the end of the day, after you speak, after you confess, how many of y'all know there's work to do? Talking is just not good enough. I mean, you can decree and declare, you can blab it and gab it, but at the end of the day, you've got to put your hands to the plow and you've got to go to work. See, too many people are waiting for God to rain this, you know, blessing down from heaven mysteriously. They're waiting for somebody to knock on the door and, you know, to give them $1 million check. Some of, you know, I know it's nobody in here, but some believers are playing the lottery, you know, waiting to hit that big number. And, you know, they're saying, I get tickled when I hear this, they're saying, well, you know, Pastor, when God blesses me to hit the lottery, I'm going to give all my tithes to the church. But let me tell you, you don't pay tithes on 100, you won't pay it on 1 million.
Yeah, right.
So I'm just learning that, you know, sometimes we allow our mouths to, you know, as a matter of fact, let me read that verse to you, because I know sometimes people think you say things and you're being bad, Pastor Bazemore. But I want to show you how the Lord feels about certain things, because sometimes as believers we do say things, and I think we may mean them initially, but we don't do the follow up. And let me tell you how God feels about talking but not following up with what we're saying. If we go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, I just want to read this to you. I'm going to start at verse 4. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. This is right from the word, folks. Pay thou which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou should not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. So that's why I want to talk about today, stand in your lane, because stand in your lane basically means the things that God has called you to do, you focus on doing those things. Because, Simone, you can't be nobody else. Now, you can try to imitate somebody else, but how many of you know that you are the best version of you that God ever made?
Yeah.
God has never made a version of you again. You know, and I know some of you saying, thank God he didn't, but he's never made another version of you. I mean, when he made you, you were the only one of you. No one else on this earth has your DNA, which means you're original, which also means there's something that you bring to the table that nobody else does.
Yeah.
So now, when you are called to do something, that means only you can do that thing that God has put you here to do. Now, some others may attempt to do it, but there's something about you, there's something about what God has placed in you that makes it, when you put your hands on it, it's just different.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in a situation where, you know, you're not good at, you know, making candy yams or making thinking that, Lord Jesus, but that just may not be your thing, but now you know you're good at making banana pudding.
No.
So, you know, stay in your lane. You don't try to be, you know, Cheryl. You know, if you're good at banana pudding, raise your hand and tell the Lord, thank you for giving me the gift of banana pudding. You've got to learn to appreciate the things that God has given you. Now, when I was in high school, I ran track, and I loved it so much that I started my own track team in Georgia, which is still going on right now. They're called the Jaguar Track Club. Still going on now. I absolutely love the sport. I love it so much that I won't do it now, because I know if I did, I would get so into it that I would neglect ministry. There are people right in this ministry that ask me to train their children, and I have to respectfully turn them down, because if I get on that track, it's done. It's all over. But see, I know this, but I'm also learning that the things that you have a passion for, Jesus said, what things soever you desire when you pray. Now, it's interesting that that word desire was mentioned even before prayer. He said, what things you ever have a hot, passionate desire for when you pray, believe that you received it, past tense, and you will have it. So now, it also tells me that you got to have a passion for the things that you want to do. Some of you are looking and asking God to expose to you what you're called to do, and you're already doing it. You're just looking for something else. You're not satisfied with that, so you're trying to get God to tell you something else, and the thing that you were equipped to do, normally you're already doing that thing. Now, it's so interesting that, you know, it seems that I was always put in the position. I love to teach. You know, my father was a preacher. For those that you know him, man, he's a traditional Church of God, Christ, Pentecostal. That man could preach. I'm a teacher. You know, my son, that's a pastor in Patterson, he's just like my father. I'm just like my mother. But we all love the Word of God.
Yeah.
But what I learned to do, I learned, Lisa, that just because I could sing a little, it didn't mean that I had to get in my preaching voice. That's not me. I don't do that. Now, I don't knock who does that, but that's just not what God called me to do. Look at your neighbor and say, stay in your lane. I mean, I've been in ministry now for 41 years. I learned after the first year that I don't moan and groan. That's not my thing. I love to hear preachers that do it. Man, T.D. Jakes is my man. I love to hear, but I'm not T.D. Jakes. And guess what? I don't want to be T.D. Jakes. I like John Baseball. Because I know, can nobody beat me being me. So now, as I was coming up and I was learning to run, you know, I was a student of the game, you know, and that kind of followed me, because I'm a student of the Word. And just like then, I was learning that when you really like something and appreciate it, you got to learn what it's all about. You got to learn the ins and outs of it. Here's the thing. You can never be really good at anything unless you take the time, you know, to make a sacrifice to learn about the thing that you really like. If you really like making banana pudding, as I said before, learn the ins and outs of it. You know, make it so good. There's this lady on Facebook. This lady loves making sweets so much that she's got this thing there. She's marketing that thing, and she's making a lot of money. Sweet potato in a jar. Sweet potato pie in a jar. She's in a jar. And I bought some, and let me tell you something. It's delicious. But now, that's her passion. And I'm trying to get you to see. You see, we are going in our secret places, and we are praying to God, and we're interceding, we're moaning, we're groaning, we're asking God to expose to me, show me, Lord, what I'm here to do. Yeah. And most of the time, you're already doing it.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something about running track. Let me take this mic down. Now, I'm going to show you something. It's not going to mean anything to you, but just bear with me for a moment. I'm going to show you something. Now, I know my man here, right here, Corbett. He's a sports buff. I don't know how much he knows about track. Now, I know these numbers don't mean anything to you, but I'm going to explain to you. This number right here, now this represents a track. You know, a full track. It's normally a little over 400 meters. This right here is the world record for the 400 meters. Just set a few years ago. Record before this, and I know all of the numbers, it was 43:29. Now it's, actually, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. It's 43:18. Y'all would know the difference, but that's if I could be correct. It's 43:18. Now, this is an amazing thing. You know, now, you would really have to understand track and field to appreciate this number, but somebody that can go around the full length of a track, and for those of you who walk, you think about, you know, how long it takes you to walk around a track or jog or even run. 43 seconds going around a track is an amazing accomplishment. But now, this time right here represents the same thing. 38:64 is a 400-meter time, just like 43:18. But here's the difference. This time right here is done by one person. This time right here is done by four. The Bible says if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, the Father in heaven would do it.
Yeah.
He also said one can put 1,000 to flight, but two, 10,000. So now we can see from this illustration right here that it's a lot easier to do better when you're working with somebody that has the same passion as you. Somebody better get me. Race is not how fast each runner is. And I know a lot of people think this, you know, because America for years and years, and even Jamaica, they had the fastest runners in the world. But now for years and years, Germany and Russia would beat us every time. They had fast runners, but they weren't as fast as ours. They had good runners, but not as good as ours. But what they had, Lisa, that we didn't have, they learned the intricacies of the relay race. Let me show you. Do y'all mind me doing some illustrations?
No.
I'm going to do some illustrations. I need some volunteers. And since Corbin is sitting in the front, that's what you need, sitting in the front. Come on up here, Corbin.
You told me
to. Yeah, I sure did. And I love an obedient man of God. Now, I want you to stand right over here. Okay, now I'm going to ask this young man right here, this doctor. Okay, I want you to move over just a little, Corbin. Move over a little. Okay, now I want you to stand right beside him. Come on up here, Cheryl. And then Donna. Now I want y'all to stand right beside him. I promise you he won't bite you. Now, let me explain something. This right here is for people, but they're not a team until they learn to work together.
Yeah.
How many of you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Now, you can say that we are all on the same team, but you can't really say that we're a team until you learn to work together, and each one of them have to learn to stay in their lane.
Uh-huh.
See, when you're running a relay, one of the things that I used to teach my team was that a lot of people look at relay races and it looks as though because everybody gets a lane. You know, if you got five different teams, each team has one lane to run it. So now when you look at a relay race, and I wish I would have brought a baton, but if you have a baton in your hand, the person, let's say Corbin is going to start the race. So Corbin would start with a baton. Yeah, here we go. There we go. Good doctor. There we go. That's kind of cold, sir. So Corbin would start with the baton in his right hand. So now, Corbin, I want you to go over there by that chair. Okay, there you go. They're right there. Now, face that way. Now, there you go. Now, Corbin is called the lead runner. He starts the race. He's the foundational runner. Now, this right here is Corbin. You see that right there where it says number one? That's Corbin. Now, as you can see, Corbin starts off and then he has to run on the curve. Isn't that right?
Right.
Now, let me tell you something, because see, a lot of people don't realize this, but you're going to put the best runners on a curve on your first and your fourth legs, because everybody's not good at running on a curve. Somebody's better. Some of the others are better on the straightaway. So the ones who are the fastest on the straightaway, you put on the second and the fourth legs. Are y'all getting this? But you still got to do what? Stay in your lane. So now, it doesn't make sense for Corbin to get jealous of Doctor right here, you know, because it seems like, well, Doctor getting a run on the straightaway and he's got faster time. I know, because he's faster than you, you're better on the curve, Corbin. Stay in your lane. Look at your neighbor and say, stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane.
So now the doctor, he's going to get behind him. Mm-hmm. But now I want to show you something. Hold this for me, sure.
He's going to line up right here. Now, this lane, just like this. Now, this lane actually is one lane. So this would represent one lane. Now, I want to tell you something about doing a relay. You are required, first of all, to stay in your lane. If you run out of your lane, you're disqualified, and you have no chance to win, even though you continue to run the race. You see, some of y'all are mad at God because you ran out of your lane. That's not God doing that. You ran out of your lane. Let me keep going. But so you can keep running, but now if you run out of your lane, God is not mad with you, but he's not going to violate his principles just to get a blessing to you. Do y'all see what I'm saying? For everything that you do, there are consequences attached to it. God does not stop loving you. God forgives you, but the consequences still remain. Simone, you know what? You were pregnant, weren't you? Now, you might say, well, I don't want to have a baby right now. You can't unmake. You know, once you're pregnant, the baby is going to come. You can't change your mind and say, well, let's go back to how it was in the beginning. No, you can't do that. Once you're pregnant, you're pregnant. So now, once Corbett has the baton in his right hand. Isn't that right? Well, let me tell you something. The lead runner starts out actually with the baton in his left hand. There you go. Let me show you why. Put it in your left hand. There we go. Now, when you're doing an exchange, most people think that the runners are just like this. Well, let me tell you why that doesn't work. If you are running full speed and you are directly behind the person, first of all, when they go to hand you the baton, you're not going to be in a position to receive it. Yeah. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to stay in position. Yeah. Are y'all getting this thing?
Yeah.
You see, sometimes we get out of position. We want the blessing. We want to receive the good things of God, but you're just out of position. God has it right in his hand to give you, but you're not in the place where you're supposed to be.
My God.
So now, if you run up on that runner, what happens? This runner has to slow down.
Yeah.
And inevitably, he's going to end up tripping over his feet. Now, one of two things will happen. He will trip and fall, or the baton will hit the ground, and you're done.
Mm-hmm.
So now, this is why I taught my team to stay on this part of the lane.
Right.
So now, as he's running, now I want you to stick this down, and you stick your hand out. No, you stick your hand. There you go. Now, he's going to receive that. Now, look at what's happening.
Uh-huh.
They're not worrying about running up behind one another. He keeps the baton in his left hand. When he's running, he keeps it in his right hand. Now, I want you to get in front of Corbin for a minute with the baton in your right hand. Come on, sweetie. Come on, Cheryl. There we go. Now, Cheryl. There we go. Cheryl's going to stay right over here. Now, do you see what we're doing? Right, left. Right, left. He's going to hand the baton off to Cheryl. But now, still, even after the exchange is made, they must stay in their lane.
Yes, right.
You see, you can't become a member of a church and think that your job is done. No, your job just began. Look at your name again, and you must stay in your lane.
You must stay in your lane.
So now, here comes John. Which is the mic? Oh, okay. Yes, in front of the speaker. That's fine. So now, Donna's going to come. Now, I want you to get in front of Cheryl, but now I want you to stand to the right of Cheryl. Okay? To the right. What? Right, left. Yes, yes, yes. So now, Cheryl's going to hand off to Donna. When Donna, now each one must keep the baton in the hand they received it in, except the last runner. It does not matter because there's nobody else to hand off to. Now let's give them a hand. Now I did that because, thank you very much, guys. I want to show you what God did in the Word. Jesus took the original baton, and he had to learn his craft first. Now, I know a lot of you were saying, well, that's Jesus, and, you know, he always was anointed, and, you know, everything that, you know, he had to do is not like us because he was just anointed from the beginning. But how many of you know that Jesus had to learn to obey just like we did?
Amen.
The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2 that he went to the temple one day, and he was 12 years old, knowing fully who he was, but his time had not yet come. See, here's the problem sometimes. Many of you know that the anointing is
See, sometimes when you are allowed to be exposed before you are actually supposed to be, you experience what is called overexposure. Now, y'all don't know nothing about that because they have these digital cameras now, but you know, back in the day when I was coming up, they had to take a picture, they had to take it to get exposed.
Yes.
But now, if you are allowed that thing to be exposed or light to come to it before it's time, it will experience what is called overexposure.
Yes.
And the picture will be ruined.
Yes.
And see, some of your ministries are ruined because you are exposing yourself before God's time, before it's time for you to come out.
My God.
But you still got to learn to stay in your lane.
Yes.
Now, Jesus, during the time he went to the temple, his mother and father didn't know where he was. So they went seeking him, and when they found him, they said this to him: "Why did you trouble us this way? You know, where were you? You know we were looking for you." And he responded by saying, "Well, why were you looking for me? Don't you know that I must be about my father's business?"
Yes.
But a lot of people don't know this. The Bible says that he submitted himself, he went back home, and he grew in wisdom and knowledge. Now, let me say it again. He grew in wisdom and knowledge. How? Because he learned to put himself in subjection and to become obedient to his leader. Now, here's another interesting point. It's amazing to me, of all of the occupations that the father could have put his son in, he put him in the carpentry business. Now, carpentry business is interesting because normally in a carpentry business, you have what is called, what is that word? I can't even think of the word now. But it's the person that's training to be a carpenter.
An apprentice,
yes. Now, the job of an apprentice, now, this is deep. You better really write this down. This is deep. I don't want y'all to miss this. The job of an apprentice is to obey the one that already has the license. It's that simple.
Uh-huh.
So now, if you can't submit yourself, that means you don't know how to stay in your lane. You've got to stay in your lane until it's your time to shine. Look at your neighbor and say, "Not yet."
Not yet.
You've got to learn that there is a season for everything.
Yes.
The Bible says there's a time and a season for everything. Listen, your season will come if you will submit yourself to God. And it's not just about submitting yourself to a man. It's about submitting yourself to God.
That's right.
I have never seen so many Facebook pastors that ain't pastoring nobody. Facebook bishops that ain't bishoping nobody. Apostles that don't even know what the word means. I mean, that's not what it's all. Folks, let me tell you something. If you don't learn how to submit yourself, if you don't learn how to bow down, and I don't mean bow down to men, bow down to God,
yes,
and obey the one that he has put in charge of you, God can never use you.
Yes.
You can never be used by God,
yes,
until you learn to stay in your own lane.
Yes.
Jesus knew that he was the foundation.
Yes.
He had to get the race started.
Yes.
But then now, you got to understand this, he passed the baton off to somebody else. He passed it off to Peter. Now, Peter wasn't like Jesus in a lot of ways. Peter was, many of you know this, he was kind of a hothead. And now, it's interesting also that, God didn't give them the gift of building a church, but he gave them the gift of bringing in people.
Yes.
So you got to know what you're good at.
That's right.
And you got to stay in that lane. Let me say it one more time. Look at your neighbor and say, "Stay in your lane."
Stay in your lane.
Peter was not a builder, but Peter knew, he knew how to gather in people. Why? He was doing it already. He was a fisherman, and all Jesus said, "Now I'm going to make you a fisher of
men."
Come on.
Yes.
So see, most of the time you're already doing what God has called you to do.
Yes.
You just got to learn how to stay in your lane.
Yes.
So now then, Peter received the baton, and he began to run, and he handed it off to Paul. Now, y'all better get this. Paul was a builder. Or why? Well, what did Paul do for a living? He was a tent maker. Y'all seeing this thing? God had already prepared him to do what he was really meant to do from the foundation of the world. Listen, the gift is already in you, and as that song said, your gift looks good on you.
Yes, yes,
but you got to know this. You've got to know that there is something in you that God has put in you that's not in nobody else.
Amen.
That's why I don't waste my time trying to be anybody else.
Amen.
Because I realize there's something that's inside of me. I mean, it's got to be because I got this pretty girl right here, so I got to have something going on. Oh, glory to God.
Amen.
for my name's sake. I can't get with this theology. And I don't mean to mess with nobody's theology, but I just can't get with this theology that's making people think that you don't have to go through anything.
My Lord.
I mean, that's not even Bible. I don't understand. First of all, I don't even want to deal with a person that hasn't been through anything, because I can't trust them. Because you don't even know, you don't even know what's going on. I mean, if you haven't been through anything, you can't relate to anything I'm talking about. You see, when I try to talk to you about, man, I'm struggling with my flesh, and I'm looking at you, and you ain't even ever kissed a girl, you don't know what I'm talking about. You don't have a clue. I'm wasting my breath. But I need to talk to somebody that's been through some things. I need somebody preaching to me, Lisa, that knows exactly what I'm going through. My God, look at your neighbor and say, I know that's right.
I know that's right.
So Paul was a builder.
Yeah.
Paul knew what it was like. Listen, he knew what it was like to persecute others. Paul was the one that was standing there with the coat of Stephen consenting to him getting stoned. But let me tell you something. The Bible says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. But now when Stephen was stoned, the Bible said that Stephen looked up and he said, I see Jesus standing. Did y'all hear that? He wasn't sitting down, but he was so appreciating the faithfulness of Stephen that he stood up. My God, you ain't done nothing until Jesus stands up. The word of God said he stood up. He said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Lord. But you got to stay in your lane. Peter handed the baton off to John. Now I know you're saying, well, John was a disciple and he was with Jesus before Paul was. See, some people come in church and you've been here for 15, 20 years and God hasn't used you yet. And then somebody brand new comes in and they got the anointing all over your neck. You got attitude. You ain't, you know, you're not singing with the anointing no more. You got attitude now because you can't understand how God can use her and she just got here and I've been here 20 years. Just look at your neighbor and say, not your season yet. See, your season will come. So though John was here before Paul was, God, his time to be used has not yet come. But now let me tell you something about this. When Jesus called Peter, he was casting out the nets. When he called Paul, he was building tents. But when he called John, he was mending the nets. How many of you know that John had a ministry of restoration?
Amen.
Oh my God, y'all better get that revelation.
Amen.
John's job was to mend the church because they were going through persecution.
Yes.
And God chose John for that job because of the love that he had in his heart.
Yes.
John loved everybody.
Yes.
John had no shame. You know, the Bible even mentioned, you know, that disciple that lay on the breast of Jesus.
Yes.
From God, and his name was
John.
They asked me how I know I'm called. I said, because the Bible told me I was.
Amen.
I'm a man sent from God because my name is John. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But they have to stay in their lane.
Yes.
You see, you know, if you are a tent maker, that means you're a builder. If you are a fisherman, that means you're casting out a net.
Yes.
But now, if you're the type that just love people and you want to help people mend and help them to grow, then you know you're a mender. You're a person of restoration.
Yes.
You see, I used to ask God, Doc, I said, well, Lord, why is it that so many people come in my ministry and they go? I said, I want to have a ministry just like all the others. And God said, you forgot what I called you to do. God told me from the very beginning, I ignored it because I wasn't trying to hear that. He said, you have a ministry of restoration. You're not a hospital, but you're a medic unit. Ministry on the front lines. Your job is to get people ready, bring them back, restore them, and send them back out to the front line. Some of us don't like what we're called to do. You just got to do it anyway. You don't like your gift, you just got to do it anyway. I know you look at them and say, why can't I sing like that? Because your head will probably be blown.
Yeah.
how now, because Jesus, and let me tell you something about Jesus. Here's the thing that I really respect about him. He was a bona fide businessman. The job of the older son in those days, particularly at 12 years old, they were considered to be what? A man. So the oldest son's responsibility was to take over the father's business. So Jesus, from the time that he was 12 until he was 30, he was a businessman. He was a carpenter. He ran his father's business. He learned about the intricacies of dealing with people. He learned about finances. What man was set out to build a house except he first sit down and what? Count. That's your businessman savior talking. See, he was the one that told the story of the ones that were given the talent, 1 5, 1 2, and another one. And he said, you know, the one that had 5, he did good. The one that had 2, he did good. But the one that had 1, he called him wicked because he took his gift and he buried it. See, you think the one that's messing up is bad. No, I'm going to tell you the one that really, really gets to the heart of Jesus. The ones that take what he has given them, and they are so bitter, and they are so angry about what has happened to them in life, that at least they won't even use their gift, but they take their gift and they bury it in the ground. They don't use it, and nobody else can be exposed to it. Jesus called them wicked. He didn't just say it was wrong. He called them wicked. Now, let me show you the businessman. You know, after he said, because the Savior realized his heart, he called them wicked, but then the businessman said this. In the same verses of Scripture, he said, at least you can have taken what I gave you and put it in the bank that I can get interest.
Yeah.
Read it. Matthew 25, read it. He said, at least, this is the carpenter talking. This is the businessman, the business owner talking. At least you can have taken what I've given you and put it in the bank so that I can get interest.
Oh, my God.
The Lord expects us to be frugal with the things he's given us.
Yeah.
We are managers, we're not owners. Do y'all understand that?
Yeah, that's right.
A steward is a manager. Mm-hmm. A steward learns very well early on to stay in his lane. Mm-hmm. He does not try to be anybody else. He does not try to do, you know, outside of what his owner has given him the ability or the responsibility to do. A good steward stays in his lane. Listen, what would happen? Now, the givers are here today. That's my sound guy. So now what would happen if I wasn't a good steward about the things that God has given me? Oh, let me tell you what I would have done. I would have said, well, you know, Pat is our welcome person. She's a hospitality person. I would have said, you know, Pat, the sound guy's not going to be here today. I don't know nothing about that equipment, so I'll see y'all next time. No. A good steward learns.
Yeah.
You see, a leader is a server. I'm going to get these preachers now. You know, everybody want people bowing down. I mean, who are you anyway? Woo! Nobody bowing down to me. I was put here to serve.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I'm going to wash your feet. And he said, if I can't wash your feet, you can't have no part of me.
Yeah.
We've got to learn to serve.
Yeah.
I'm here to serve.
Amen.
I don't just serve my congregation. I serve my job.
Yeah.
Faithfully. You want to be a good witness? Be a good steward over the things that God has given you.
Mm-hmm.
Be the first one to show up on your job. Do your job with diligence and do it with spirit and some unction. Don't be the one that get in the complaining group. You know that group that get over in the corner during break time or lunch time, and I can't stand him, and he just... And no, you don't get in that group because all you're doing is messing up your blessing for somebody that don't know anything about you. He's not a respecter of persons.
Yeah.
He's a respecter. She was more than worth it. But we quit too soon. We get out of our lane, we get DQ'd or disqualified, and we miss the thing that God has for us. You see, I'm going to end with this scripture right here. Because I know that some of you live around people, drug dealers, and you may not live with them, but you live around them. So do I. I mean, they're everywhere. Good communities, bad communities. This ain't about the community you live in. They're everywhere. Now you can trust me on those. You got functional drug addicts and you got non-functional drug addicts. You got functional alcoholics and non-functional alcoholics. But people sometimes say, I feel, Pastor, that God is unfair. Because I look at, I'm doing the right things, but what you're doing is not, God doesn't bless you because of what you're doing. You're being good, so he's going to bless you. No. God blesses you because he loves you.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with what you do. God blesses you because he loves you. He looked at you and said, I just love her so much. And you're thinking, I can't be good enough. And all God is saying, you are absolutely right. So stop. Just love me. You know what I'm learning? When you love God, you do good anyway. Because you're not focused on nothing but loving God. And all of that other stuff becomes passive. But now let me tell you about the ones that we think are getting away, and we think they're getting, you know, they got the nice cars. Let me tell you what they're really doing. And you can read this when you go on, but let me explain to you what their real MO, their military occupational, job is, or, you know, what their specialty is. Let me tell you what they're really specializing in. Ecclesiastes 2:26. For God gives to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he gives travail or work to gather and to heap up, that he may give to them that is good before God. Look at your neighbor saying, that's me. The sinners are gathering their stuff for you. Because how many of you know, how many of you absolutely know that there's going to come a time that God is going to overflow the body of Christ like we've never seen?
Yes. Hallelujah.
So look at your neighbor. So staying in your lane
gives
me the results that I'm looking for, and it pleases the heart of God. Stand on your feet, everybody.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you are encouraged by God's Word and will tune in next time to this station for our Sunday service at Restoration Christian Ministries. Stay encouraged and have a blessed week.